goals.
I will give myself an A in this category.
I'm under contract and ready to go. This is a good old-fashioned fail for me.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Summer break.
Clearly, that's how you really feel.
It was so classic.
They got a piece of the pie. Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo, woo. Welcome back.
So, we're about to go on a quick little summer break. I'm only going to take a couple of weeks off. So, there'll only be, you know, two episodes in June, and then we'll see you guys back in July. But before we take off, we have had... for our little summer break, we've had so many homies reach out to us about an episode or our thoughts on the current events of the day, specifically the incident at Starbucks where the young men were in Starbucks, apparently had not purchased anything at Starbucks or hadn't in some hours, and the police were called on them, and they were escorted out by the police, and Starbucks' response, which was to close all of its stores for racial sensitivity change and racial sensitivity and unconscious bias training for all of the employees of the organization. A lot of homies know that we golf. And there was an incident where
the police were called.
Some black women were golfing. Some white men playing behind them thought they were playing too slow, and what they, I guess, assumed was golf etiquette, called the police on the women.
Right.
And called the police on the women, and then the episode of the. Young woman basketball player who I can't remember where she coached, but she's getting on the plane with her child. She's married, a white woman married to a black man. They ask her if she's the mother, whose child she has.
No,
she
they ask she her to prove that it's her child.
Well, they ask her whose child she has. She says, I have my child. They said, can you prove it? She says, well, I don't have his passport.
She has
I don't
passport.
Have his birth certificate. Right, but I don't have his birth certificate. And then they say that's not good enough because he has a different last name. And I don't know if you have some incidents of some things you want to share, but those are the three that I know I've been thinking about and been hearing from the homies about.
And in that same vein, the graduate student at Yale, where the police were called on her in the student union at Yale, and she was in grad school, and she had the campus security of police called on her. And then the NBA basketball player that was illegally parked at like a Walgreens or a CVS in Milwaukee and was subsequently arrested for being illegally parked in a handicap zone. So where we're going with this is a lot of what you would think are everyday things that Americans have the right to do. That apparently when you do them as a person of color and it is out of order with what a white person thinks you should be doing, we're missing the best one, the barbecue in Oakland.
Oh, the barbecue in Oakland.
Which...
Oh, because
the internet... The internet has no chill.
It's undefeated. The internet is undefeated.
Speaking of, So, but all jokes aside, I want to get to that because the memes for that were genius for the Oakland.
Right, but that was the same thing. Some people were barbecuing and a white woman called the police. So let me say this before like we get into it. I really feel, and I don't know if you agree, but I really feel like calling or threatening to call the police now is a completely different thing than it used to be. Because it's not, when you threaten to call the police, I feel like you are actually threatening someone's life. Because we know now that police can come out, police can shoot you, police can kill you, and it's more likely than not there'll be no ramifications.
I was going to say, it's not just, yes, absolutely. I feel like when the police is called on a person of color, you are saying, I want to put your life in danger. Let me be super clear about that. And 99.9% of the time, if something were to happen to you, there are no consequences for that life that is lost.
That's right. And I think so when someone is threatening that, I think they're actually threatening your life.
And I think that that's what they mean to do.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. I think they mean it. Like, because I don't think that it's just people of color who understand that police are out here shooting people of color. I think white people understand that too. So I think they're like, you get crazy if you want to. I'll call the police on you. You know they'll shoot you.
That's right. And you'll be dead, you silly black person, you right. silly brown person. But and nobody will cry for
and
you.
No one will cry for you.
They'll give you $4.
And I mean, we might actually get an indictment, but ain't nobody going to jail or anything. I mean,
it's, like I said, and if you have a civil suit, they'll give you $4.
They'll give you $4. So the thing that I find most disturbing is in all of the situations that we mentioned, in every single one, it is worth noting that the person of color had not done anything wrong. They had not done anything illegal. We have all been to Starbucks and not purchased anything. I feel like I know people who run full corporations out of Starbucks and Panera every day.
I do.
And they don't even order water.
Well, but the thing that I thought was so interesting about the Starbucks incident is one of my favorite podcasts is How I Built This, especially as we are, you know, budding entrepreneurs in the game. So I've fallen in love with the NPR How I Built This. And the Panera Bread was a recent episode, or I just recently listened to it. I'm not sure if it was a recent episode. And one of the things he said was, well, when people go to Starbucks, this is what the owner of Panera Bread said. When people go to Starbucks, you know, they go to put their headphones on and get a cup of coffee and sit and work and or study and do their thing alone. We set up the Panera Bread concept, not for you just, you could do that, but you could also have a Bible study there, he said. Have a committee meeting. So I thought it was so interesting that I knew that everyone did that, but I didn't understand
it was
that
intentional.
That is a part. Right, that's a part of the business model. And that part of Starbucks is that you could sit as well. That it's a part of the business model. And I mean, frankly, I just had a sorority committee meeting at Panera last night. But like that's why they have the long tables. That's why they have the soft couches.
Right.
And because you're supposed to park. You're supposed to post up, if you will.
Right.
And so the idea that you're actually doing something that is well within the business model, and someone calls the police. And what I did like, though, is I don't know if you saw the video, where the white people who were like, I don't understand. I've been here for 4 hours now. Why are you calling the police? What is happening?
So I actually found that to be really telling of our culture in America in general. Because if I were in there, I would have thought those things to myself. But I would have never asked the police that. Because what I understand is that if when I'm a black person, I ask that question, I too am now going to get arrested.
Right. Correct. Correct. No, it's true. And so,
But what did you think of Starbucks' response? Because there's a lot of people who had strong opinions. I actually like the response. And I think sometimes, regardless of what you do, somebody's always going to have something to say. You know, people were like, well, they only close it for a few hours. It's in the afternoon. That's not when they sell the most coffee. You sell coffee in the morning. I'm like, stop it. They closed every single store. Trust and believe that is revenue that is lost.
Yes. And I thought, what better response could they have had? Like, I don't know. When people said that, I saw that, you know, I too saw that. I just thought, well, what else? What would have been a sufficient remedy? I've never seen a revenue generating Fortune 500 company shut all of its revenue generation down for half a day at the same time.
We're not staggering it. It's not in regions.
And we're going to do it. No. Every single store closed. It was swift. It was a fast response. I thought it was fantastic. Much like I thought ABC's response was when they fired or when they canceled the Roseanne show. It was fast. And what I really thought is both of those situations, to me, were examples of there are people of color now in power. And so I think that when you are in the room now, as you would always say, when you're in the room and you're discussing it, somebody who is of color is saying, oh no, that apology is not going to be enough.
That's not sufficient.
Now we see when people of color are running things, we have seen a lot of big, you know, responses. And I don't think it's a coincidence that both ABC and Starbucks have women of color in high, you know, president of programming for ABC, the chief operating officer of Starbucks, and that those are not connected.
Oh, absolutely. They are connected. And which goes back to show you that, you know, leadership matters, being in the room matters, having a position of influence matters, and it can have a permeating effect. What I would love to say for all the homies that are listening is, you know, we have to start somewhere, and there's never going to be a perfect response to anything, because, you know, it's just amazing to me how people can take things and turn it around. I saw some posts after the Roseanne show cancelization, which I do want to be on the record saying that I don't think that Ambien makes you racist. And I saw where the CEO of Ambien said Ambien has a lot of side effects. Racism is not one of them. Okay.
When I tell you I have not laughed that hard, and I thought, they remind me now of the person who runs the Webster.
Oh, yeah.
The Merriam-Webster Twitter account. Like, it was so classic. Racism is not a side effect of our drug.
I got into a discussion with some folks about this. I actually personally don't like it when people do, for example, what Roseanne Barr did and then apologize. I kind of feel like, I know you, quote, have to apologize, but clearly that's how you really feel. So the apology is not going to make me change my mind about whether or not I think that you're a racist. I'm like, no, you're a racist.
And maybe, and especially when you're retweeting people who are supporting your
actions. Correct. Right. And so the golf course, though, what, you know, this is what I don't think people have an appreciation for. Two of the ladies in the foursome were members at that course. They were members,
which is huge.
So this is a place that they've chosen to join, pay their money to have equal privileges and rights. And like Demetra said, that all started because they felt like they were playing too slowly, which in golf there is something called the pace of play. But typically the marshal will ask you on the course to speed up, or the group behind you ask if they can play through. I have never...
Or you offer to play through. Because, and I would imagine that these women being the seasoned golfers they are, if it was that, they would have offered that. I've never had to have anybody ask. Because you offer it. You're just like, look, we're girl talking and golfing.
Or sometimes people, you're not playing slow, but the people behind you are getting on your nerves as they constantly standing in the fairway with their hands on their hips. And you're like, you know what? This is no longer relaxing. Let's just let these folks behind us play through, because clearly they're super anxious.
Right. And normally when you don't do that, it's because you know it's not going to matter. They can
and
play
we've
through.
Had I've definitely had that happen on both sides, where we catch up to the guys and they're like, oh, actually we're waiting on a foursome ahead of us. You see this? Or sometimes you get four holes ahead and you realize everybody's on a tee box. I still don't understand how that rises to an escalation of calling the police.
The police. And then my thing is, and they come for that.
And they came.
They come for that. They come for someone saying.
What does that call sound like?
What did you say?
What does that call sound like?
Well, that's why I love
911. That's why the memes are great. 911.
Because it's
like, I see some people scratching and surviving. My favorite though is 911 with the Jeffersons. They got a piece of the pie.
Right. Hey, they finally got a piece of the pie. Like, it's just
and the Oakland lady is a great example, because I did watch that entire video, and she goes from being assertive and nasty to crying when the police get there, as if somebody has harassed her. It's like,
as if she's the victim.
Right.
As if she's the victim.
Oh my gosh, in the name of everything that is holy, what are you crying about?
Right. What? Why would you be crying? Why are you actually crying? What happened?
What happened? What happened?
That's what our nephew
said. What happened?
But what happened?
And again, she called the police on people barbecuing in a public park.
Where
barbecuing is allowed.
And so, you know, I guess I just want to say, you know, for everyone who wanted to know what we thought, what I think is what these are showing us is that these are not isolated incidents. What they are showing us is that racism is still alive and well in society. What they're showing us is that people are still judging you without knowing you on your skin color. What it's showing you is that we still end up moving through the world differently. And as much as that breaks my heart, as much as, and I wish it were not true, I wish in a 2018, I wish we lived in the post-racial society that everyone said we were going to live in after we had a black president, but we don't.
We do not. There's nothing post-racial about it. I think the other thing, and I think everything you said is spot on, but what it also says to us is this: there are so many people out there that their first inclination, their first assumption is that you don't belong here, you're doing something illegal, because police are called because of illegal activity. There is no other reason to call law enforcement. And think about this, you didn't, in all these situations, they didn't go get a manager, or like we said, the marshal, you know, they didn't go right. get, they didn't call customer service or whatever you want to call that. They pulled their cell phones out and call 911, which 911 is supposed to be a life-threatening emergency. That's what 911
is. 911
is
a joke. It's a joke. A joke in your town.
911 is
a joke in your town.
It's a joke in your town. I mean, 911 for four people golfing. 911 for somebody in a Starbucks. 911 for somebody in a dorm.
911 for barbecuing in a park.
Now the what's now that's all people calling. The basketball player for the Milwaukee Bucks, he comes out of the store. The police are waiting on him at his car because apparently he has parked across like three parking lot spots, which we've all seen people do this. They have some super nice car and they just decide that the parking rules are not for them because they don't want people scratching their car. And then that escalates into him being arrested.
Arrested.
And then the police lied in the report about his actions. And then once they released the tape, when they got the, you know, the body cam video, then they realized. And then what really is disturbing is that then still leadership, the Milwaukee police, you know, chief doesn't say, okay, we messed up. It's like, okay, there were some misleading statements. And it's like, no, if I file a false police report as a citizen, I can be charged. That's a crime. Why is that not the case for a police officer?
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And so I do think that it's, you know, what I'm also encouraged by. So that's what I think I've learned. What I'm also encouraged by is that we do have social media. There is a way for these things to come to light, that we do have people, you know, within organizations still trying to make it right. I'm thankful for the Sean Kings of the world who bring mm-hmm. these issues to us. And I think it's just an example of we all have to keep hustling and doing our part and trying to be a part of the solution. And whether we are people of color or in the majority, but understanding that we are moving through the world differently and being sensitive, which is why I think the training was important.
Absolutely, because if nothing else, it just raises awareness. So we wanted to share our thoughts and I'd love to hear from you guys on some of these issues as well. Feel free to drop us a note or send us an email.
Yeah, on this topic, it's been, you know, we know that this is one of the more sensitive and uncomfortable topics. If you have some other topic you want us to cover, of course, you know, you can always email us at questions@corporatehomie.com. Homies, H-O-M-I-E. Also, if you want us to come out and speak at your organization, send that email to info@corporatehomie.com.
And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.